Again, friends, we want to welcome you. So glad you're here with us on this long Labor Day weekend. I know there's a million places you could be, so how glorious it is that you're choosing God. And I do pray that you're blessed by this time of worship, blessed in God's presence because we know that He's with us. Well, today we're going to wrap up our Transformed Lives series by talking about Zacchaeus. And so before we get started, I want to see if we have any Sunday school or vacation Bible school aficionados out there with us today, okay? So I want to see, go ahead and belt it out. I need you to finish this for me, right? Zacchaeus was a... And a... He climbed up in a... To... all right, very good, awesome. So now I know you all are experts on Zacchaeus, and we're going to dive just a little bit deeper into his story. And his story is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And so I want to read this story for you. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And we pray God's blessing upon the reading of his word. Well, friends, I've always been fascinated with the story of Zacchaeus, and no, not just because us short guys have to stick together, but I've always been fascinated because it seems like every time I read it, I notice something that I haven't noticed before. It's like every time I read it, there seems to be a little bit more to it than last time I read it. And if you think about it, there's humor in it, of course, but there's also a very dark shadow of foreboding in it as well. If you pay attention, you'll see there's true biting loneliness and ostracism. There's misunderstanding and nasty judgmentalism and even flat-out hatred in the story. It's the story of the deepest yearnings of a lonely heart. And as Luke tells it, it's a story of dark shadows moving into a humorous situation, all climaxing in this sheer extravagant joy. In other words, it has everything you need to be the perfect story, including living happily ever after at the end. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, not just any tax collector. Luke tells us he was a chief tax collector. And let's face it, being a tax collector is never going to win you any popularity contest anytime in any culture. But in Judea and Galilee, during the Roman era, tax collectors were particularly hated. And it was because of how the Romans collected the taxes. You see, the Romans wanted to collect as much tax as they could, but they didn't want to tie up their own personnel doing it. So they came up with a brilliant plan for getting as much tax revenue as possible with as little work as possible. What they would do would be to hire locals to do their dirty work for them. They would hire locals to collect the taxes, and it worked this way. You go out and collect however much you want, and you get to keep this percentage of it. So think about it. If you get a straight percentage of it, then the more you collect, the more you keep. But the problem is, right, you're using extortion against your own people to get rich. And that's why they were hated. And then add to that, not only was he doing it on the backs of his own people, but in so doing this, these tax collectors helped raise the funds necessary to finance the Romans' brutal repression of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And so obviously, these parasites were repugnant to all decent, God-fearing Jews. They were all repugnant, but no one more so than Zacchaeus. Because Luke tells us he was really good at robbing his own people. Because Luke points out that he was a very wealthy man. How did he get to be so wealthy? Well, when Jesus came to town, Zacchaeus just wanted to check him out. It would be much the same as if this big name celebrity came to our town. A lot of people go just to see, just because they're curious. They want to catch a sight of this famous person. But Zacchaeus had a hard time doing that because Luke tells us that he was short. And so he couldn't see over the crowds to see Jesus. So he came up with a brilliant plan. He ran right ahead, knowing the route. There was only one road through town that Jesus was going to come. And so he went up ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a sycamore tree to get a good view of this famous rabbi when he would pass that way. Well, the crowd was huge that day. Just try to imagine it, right? Everyone pushing and shoving and wanting a piece of Jesus and asking for Jesus. It's like the swirling mass of humanity, loud and boisterous everywhere that Jesus was. And yet, in spite of all of this crazy, frenetic activity around him, right when he got to the sycamore tree, Jesus just stopped. And he looked up and he saw the short guy up in the tree and he called out to him by his name. Even though he had never met him, right? He called him out by his name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Can you imagine what that made Zacchaeus feel like? Can you imagine how excited he must have been? I remember going to the parade for the 2009 All-Star Game that was played here in St. Louis. And being like Zacchaeus, a bit vertically challenged, there was no way I was ever going to see over the crowds to see all these big league heroes that I had gone down there to see. So a good buddy of mine and I pulled a Zacchaeus. We ran up ahead knowing where they were going to eventually come, and we climbed up on the second floor of a parking garage and just kind of leaned over the railing so we got a perfect view of all these people, and I could see over the crowd. It was absolutely perfect. I saw everything. I saw Derek Jeter and took this picture of him right here. I saw Ichiro Suzuki and Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina and so on and so on and so on. It was a baseball geek's paradise. It was a great day. Well, friends, just try to imagine how dumbfounded I would have been with this huge crowd and everyone cheering and everyone making all this noise, trying to get everybody's attention, if Derek Jeter had told his driver to stop the car right when he was below where I was in the parking garage, right? Told the driver to stop, and then Derek looked up at me and said, "Hey, Mike, come on down, man, get in my car. I'm gonna come to your house for dinner tonight," right? I'd be a rock star. I mean, the whole crowd would be looking at me like, "Whoa, you know Jeter?" And I'd be, "Yeah, man, we're tight, Jeter and I. He's coming to my house," right? Man, I would feel so important. Well, that's exactly the way Zacchaeus felt times 10, right? Jesus, not just a celebrity, not just a big name, but a holy man, a man of God, called him out by his name and said, I want to be in your house. I want to share dinner with you. Can you even imagine? Well, friends, here's the good news I have to share with you. That's how God always operates, right? That's how it always is with God. See, God is the one who looks and sees us. God is the one who notices us. God is the one who takes the initiative to start a relationship with us. God is the one who calls out to us. God is the one who reaches out to us. God is the one who wants to be with us. God is the one who says, there's nothing more I can think of that I'd rather do than be with you. I mean, that should make us feel like rock stars. God wants to be with me. And that's the truth of the gospel, friends. You see, Jesus saw past Zacchaeus's crimes, and Jesus saw into his heart. And Jesus didn't just see who Zacchaeus was. Jesus was able to see who Zacchaeus could be. And Jesus reached out to that one just the way he was. You see, inviting himself to that tax collector's home meant that he was publicly offering Zacchaeus forgiveness and mercy and acceptance by God. And the people knew this. That's why they grumbled. That's why they were upset. How can you say God accepts this horrible person? But you know, Zacchaeus was determined not to be shamed out of his chance at redemption. And he instinctively knew that accepting Jesus into his home, accepting Jesus into his life, meant that his life was going to change. And he had a choice. He could choose to accept this new life, or he could choose to keep on the way he's going and miss this opportunity. And of course, the Bible tells us that he chose wisely. He chose wisely, and he told Jesus, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Now, I want you to notice the order in the story, because it's very, very, very important, right? Did Zacchaeus have this changed heart and offer this generous gift in order to be accepted by Jesus? Or did Zacchaeus do this act of wonderful generosity because he had already been accepted by Jesus? And the answer is B. He did this after being accepted by Jesus. In other words, Zacchaeus didn't buy Jesus' forgiveness. Zacchaeus didn't earn Jesus' love. Zacchaeus didn't do anything to bring about this relationship with Jesus. It was all Jesus. Jesus was the one who started it all. Jesus was the one who offered everything to him. Salvation came to Zacchaeus not because of anything he had done, but simply because God loves him that much. God called him out of a tree and into life. And hear the good news, friends. God calls you too. I promise you, by name, every single one of you. You'll also notice that Jesus never said to Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree, get your act together, clean yourself up. Once you do that, once you make yourself acceptable, well, then come and see me and we'll do dinner together. It's not at all how it happened. Jesus reached out to a person who had made some very poor life decisions. Jesus reached out to a person who was very selfish. Jesus reached out to a person who was quite broken. Jesus reached out to a person who was very much like me and like some of you. And he says, hey, Zacchaeus, hey, Mike, I love you. I really do. I love you so much. And there's nothing I can think of that I would rather do than have a relationship of love with you. There's nothing I would rather do than be with you. Jesus is the one who comes to us, friends. Do you hear the good news? Jesus is the one who initiates this relationship. Jesus is the one who accepts what is broken and by his love transforms it into something that is whole. Jesus is the one who takes people who are on the outside and transforms them into people who are on the inside. Jesus continues to do that today through his wonderful family that he calls the church. You have no idea the power available to you to be God's instruments of transformation, right? You have no idea, as the church, what a difference we can make in people's lives when we choose to reach out to them, call them by name, see them at school sitting by themselves at the cafeteria and sit next to them, or see them at business and just say, hey, you know what? I'd love to get a cup of coffee with you. To reach out to them where they are, accept them for who they are, and offer them this love. Because when we reach out and invite people here, invite people into the fellowship of God's family, we are being used by God to bring about a transformation in people's lives. Let me share with you the story of the Hastings family.
Hi, my name's Steve Hastings.
I'm Crystal Hastings.
We've been going to Living Word for just over 10 years on a regular basis.
Usually a few times a year for a few years until we really started going about 7 years ago.
And we had a reason to do that.
We have a daughter that's 10. Emma is 10 and Olivia is now 7.
And Emma was in preschool there and had a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And we started to build a family and didn't even probably quite realize it at mm-hmm. the time. So Crystal became pregnant and we knew we were going to have our second daughter. Very excited.
She was 11 weeks early.
So Krista was in the hospital every single day, and I was taking Emma to preschool. And every day I'd come to Living Word, I'd walk her in, and there would be Amy and the staff asking me how Krista was doing and praying with me, shedding tears with me. We had a family, and when God's blessings, Olivia was born and tiny.
Tiny but perfect.
Perfect, healthy. And we knew then that there was something to that, and God and Living Word support became more important to us than any time in our life. They became our family.
That's when we started becoming more regular members, or attendees, I should say.
Attendees, yes. And then my mom and dad jumped in behind us, and we all came together, and we fell in love with what God and what the church brought to us at Living Word.
The support that we received.
My mother and I and Olivia and Emma all got baptized, and I'll never forget the pride of standing up there with Michael saying, in all my years, I've never had three generations get baptized together. And it's stayed, it's been strong. Mm-hmm. We love going there now. We like to go to church. We like to worship together. I've gotten closer to several people in the church, including Michael and all the wonderful staff, and asked what can we do? How can I get more involved? Because I really didn't know for sure. And that's the beauty of it when you have a family like that. They help you through it. Well, here's what you can do. So I've been going to Wednesday morning get together, men's Bible studies, just talk, share what's going on. Have enjoyed that. And have talked to Crystal about what else can we do? drive the bus to pick up people, this and that. And then finally I decided I'd like to go to Ghana. Had some health issues that they recommended I put it off a year. So I'm doing that, but I plan to go next year. And it is because of what God and Living Word has given me that I want to give back and do that. You talk about a family and a church and God surrounding His arms around you. That's what happened.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome, right? Acceptance, love, invitation first. Change results from that. We're a powerful, powerful tool in the hands of God when we allow God to use us. And friends, make no mistake, if any time a Christian reaches out to you, that is God reaching out to you. Anytime you're receiving love and affirmation from a follower of Jesus, that's Jesus doing it. Just the same as He did for Zacchaeus that day in Jericho so long ago. Just like Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus, Jesus continues to reach out to us by name to let us know that He would like nothing more than to take a bunch of outsiders and make them insiders, and in the process, bring about a glorious transformation of life. Please listen to me, friends. There's nothing you need to do to get Jesus to love you. He already does, in full, crazy over the moon love for you. And there's nothing you've ever done, and there's nothing you ever could do to end that love. Jesus will forever love you to the moon and back. Jesus will forever be offering you grace and love and forgiveness and redemption and transformation. Think about it. Zacchaeus was not a nice man, okay? Those around him saw him for what he was, a corrupt, horrible, backstabbing traitor. But Jesus saw in him a human being who was worthy of being loved. And so Jesus reached out to him, and as a result, Jesus was able to say, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." Now notice what Jesus says. I love this. He says, "For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." Okay? Now, coming from a Jewish perspective, what does that mean? That means you're one of us. If you are a true son of Abraham, you are a good Jew. You are part of God's holy family. You are part of the chosen people, because that's who the sons of Abraham are. So Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus, even when the world was judging him, even when the world was rejecting him, even when the world was calling him an outsider, Jesus said, "I see a true son of Abraham. I see an insider," and proclaimed that salvation had come to this home, because Zacchaeus had been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I don't know where you are in this story, but I know you're somewhere in this story. Maybe you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know all of what I'm saying, and you've been transformed by Jesus, and so now you're ready to be an instrument of grace to reach out into the world. Or maybe you're not quite there yet. You want to believe, this sounds great, but you sure don't feel like an insider with God right now. Or maybe you don't believe at all. You just happen to be here. And that's okay wherever you are in this story. And if you think about it, Zacchaeus wasn't a believer at all. He was just there. He just wanted to check out this celebrity who was coming into town. He just happened to be there, right? But Jesus sought him out. Jesus initiated a relationship with him. Jesus came to him and called him by name. And so please hear me right now, friends. In just the same way, I promise you, Jesus is seeking you out. Jesus is calling out to you. Jesus is offering his love, his grace, his wholeness to you. He stops everything that he's doing in the swirling, crazy world we live in, stops right by you and lets you know he has nothing better to do in all of the world than to be with you. He has nothing he'd rather do than spend time with you. Friends, that means even if you've never given Jesus a second thought, don't care at all about him, he's offering you life. He loves you so much that he's never going to give up on you. Never. He's already offering you the grace that brings about a transformation, both in this world and in the world to come. Now, the truth is, we all of us are hungry for transformation. Some of us know it, some of us don't. Zacchaeus didn't know it until he met Jesus. And once he met Jesus, he recognized how hungry he was for the transformation. And in Jesus, he discovered he had everything he needed for that transformation. The only thing he needed to do was get out of the tree and accept what had already been offered. He didn't have to do anything to earn it. Couldn't do anything to earn it. All he had to do was get out of the tree and accept what Jesus was already offering. Friends, I don't know what kind of tree you might be in. There's so many of us in so many different kinds of trees right now. We're afraid, we're lonely, we're angry. I don't know what it is. But here's what I want you to hear. Jesus is calling you by name, in love, and simply saying, come to me. I've already offered you myself in full. I've already offered you everything you need. All you need to do is accept it. Just accept the love I offer. I'm not asking to take anything from you. I want to give to you wholeness in life. So Jesus is calling. Jesus is offering. So my only question for you is, what are you waiting for? Come on down from that tree and accept the love that is Jesus Christ. To the glory of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Beautiful and holy God, how amazing it is that you know us by name, that you know everything about us, and you love us in full. And you came into our world just to be with us. You took on human flesh and blood just to be with us. You send your Holy Spirit upon the world just to be with us. And we praise you for that, and we thank you, God, and we glory in the love and the grace that we receive in you. And so I pray right now, Lord God, if there's anyone here right now that doesn't know in full your love, I pray for your Holy Spirit to just pour down upon them and use my words, use each one of us here as your instrument, as your tool, as your way to reach out to them and let them know they're loved, they're wanted, and they're beautiful. We thank you, God, for our acceptance, and we praise you for being the God who forever loves us. And we pray in the name of Jesus our Savior, and for his sake, we ask it to let it be done. Amen and amen.